Chatalam Kirtam Urubhyam Vitalam Dibho Janubhyam Sutalam Sudham Janghabhyam Tutalaptalam Mahatalam tu Gopabhyam Papadyabhyam Rasatalam patalam paratalata iti lokamaya puman tatkatam chatalam kiptam urubhyam pitalam vibho janubhyam sutalam shudham Janhabham tutalatanam
Janhabham tutalatanam
Mahatalam tugupabham
Mahatalam tugupabham
Prapadyabham
asatalam
Patalam paratalata Iti lokamaya puma Tatkatyam chatalam kiptam
Urubhyam vitalam vibho
Urubhyam vitalam vibho
Janubhyam sutalam shudham
Janubhyam sutalam shudham
Jambhavyam tutalatalam
Jambhavyam tutalatalam
Mahatalam tugupabhyam
Mahatalam tugupabhyam Papadadham satalam
Patalam
paratalata
Iti lokamaya puman
Tatyam chatalam kiptam
Also,
Atalam, the first planetary system below the earth. Keep them.
Flip them.
Is that what it says? Yeah, flip them. Situated. Urubhyam. On the thighs. Vitalam. The second planetary system. Below. Vibho. Of the Lord. Janubhyam. On the ankles. Sutaram.
The
third planetary system below.
Shudham.
Purified. Janhabhyam.
On the joints.
Two. But. Chalatalam. The fourth planetary system below. Mahatalam. The fifth planetary system below.
Two.
But Guhabhyam. Situated on the calves. Prapadabhyam.
On the upper or
front portion
of the feet.
Rasatalam. The sixth planetary system below.
The sixth planetary system.
Patalam. The seventh planetary system below. Paratalata. On the bottom are soles of the feet. Iti. Thus. Lokamaya.
Full of planetary
system. Uman. The Lord. My dear son Narada, know from me that there are seven lower planetary systems out of the total 14. The first planetary system, known as Atala, is situated on the waist. Second, Vittala, is situated on the thighs. The third, Sutala, on the knees. Fourth, Talatala, is situated on the shanks. The fifth, Mahatala, on the ankles. The sixth, Rasatala, on the upper portion of the feet. And the seventh, Patala, on the soles of the feet. Thus, the Virat form of the Lord is full of all planetary systems. So we can read the 42. Before we read the purport, we'll just go over 42 here. All together, Burloka Kalpita Padhyam Bhuvaloka Shanabita Svaloka Kalpito Murna Iti Valoka Kalpana. Others may divide the whole planetary system into three divisions, namely the lower planetary systems on the legs up to the earth, the middle planetary system on the navel, and the upper planetary system, Svarloka, from the chest to the head of the Supreme Personality. Purport, the three divisions of the complete planetary systems are here mentioned. 14 are imagined by others, and that is also explained. So with purport to 41 and 2, modern enterprisers, the astronauts who travel in space, may take information from Srimad Bhagavatam that in space there are 14 divisions of planetary systems. The situation is calculated from the earthly planetary system, which is called Bhurloka. Above Bhurloka is Bhuvar, and the topmost planetary system is called Satyaloka. These are the upper seven lokas, or planetary systems. And similarly, there are seven lower planetary systems, known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala, locals. All these planetary systems are scattered over the complete universe, which occupies an area of 2 billion times 2 billion square miles. The modern astronauts can travel only a few thousand miles away from the Earth, therefore their attempt to travel in the sky is something like child's play on the shore of an expansive ocean. The moon is situated on the third status of the upper planetary systems, and the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, we shall be able to know the distant situation of the various planets scattered over the vast material sky. There are innumerable universes beyond the one in which we are put, and all these material universes cover only an insignificant portion of the spiritual sky, which is described above as Sanatana Brahmaloka. The Supreme Lord very kindly invites the intelligent human beings to return home back to Godhead in the following verse of Bhagavad Gita. Brahma bhuvana loka punaravartina arjuna mamupecha tukanteya punajanmana vidyate. Beginning from Satyaloka, the topmost planet of the universe, situated just below the eternal Brahma Loka, as described above, all the planets are material. And one situation in any of the many material planets is still subject to the laws of material nature, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. But one can get complete liberation from all the above-mentioned material pangs when one enters into the eternal Brahma-loka Sanatana atmosphere, the kingdom of God. Therefore, liberation is contemplated by the speculative philosophers and the mystics. As contemplated by the speculative philosophers and the mystics, is possible only when one becomes a devotee of the Lord. Anyone who is not a devotee cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Only by attainment of a service attitude and a transcendental position can one enter into the kingdom of Godhead. Therefore, the speculative philosophers as well as the mystics must first of all be attracted to the devotional cult before they can factually attain liberation. Omagan, Pandehani Shri Guru, Shri Kapata Gamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam, Shri Rupam, Sagarjatam, Sahagana, Laganatam, Yutam, Pramisha Jivam, Sadvaitam, Savabhutam, Padijana, Sakitam, Krishna, Chaitanya, Vyam, Shri Radha, Krishna, Padam, Bhagana Vali Chashi Vishakam. Hey Krishna Kumasindo, Dina Bandhu Vakate, Koke Sukotika Kanta Rata Kanta Moskate, Panchakal Patri Vyascha, Kipa Sindhu Deva Japati Tana Padamiko Vaishnavi Maha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Vaiti Rada Shivasadi Govai Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So these are the last three verses of this chapter. So sometimes it's asked, why are we reading about these material places? Of course, we have to know. In the Isha Upanishad, for instance, we hear Sambhutim Cha Vinasam Cha Yastra Vedo Vayam Saha. Sambhutam Ritam Ashnute Avijayam Ritam Tirtva. Somehow or other, it is recommended in Isha Upanishad, which is straight Vedic knowledge, all the Upanishads. Prabhupada chose that one Upanishad of eight. Many are quoted even in Prabhupada's book, Mundaka, Sveta Svatara, Katha Upanishad. But he chose that Upanishad. And in there is described, one has to know this material world, Sambhutim Cha, personality of God or the spiritual world, and Vinasham, that which is destroyable, which includes, and he mentions there all, everything, demigods, men, animals, all the human beings, whatever they do, this material world. Paravaravadovidu is also said in the beginning of the Bhagavatam when the sages were addressing Sukha Goswami that you know para avara, that which is para, spiritual, beyond the material, and the avara, which is material. And you know all these things, material and spiritual. So we had demonstration of that also in seeing Prabhupada's activities, that he wasn't... There are sadhus who are great devotees. They may be fully absorbed in Krishna, but they don't ever think of anything probably material. But we saw in Prabhupada's pastimes that he was already Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also, but he didn't act as a householder, so we don't really know. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur had so many children and acted as a judge. Imagine he's writing the most exalted literature, just like Prabhupada. But even more so, he's a judge, a magistrate, managing, you know, and hearing cases, and all kinds of stuff going on. You know, what was he doing? Still, that was just his job, and he was super expert at it. So that's Vinasham Chambhutim Cha Vinasham Cha. So, is not a confusion really that we should, you know, the whole Bhagavatam taken as in summary, Vairagya Kena. It's meant for Vairagya, isn't it? But what are we renouncing? We should also know that which we're renouncing. Vairagya Vidya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to, and he's enjoying Sarvabhauma Padacharya, he said, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shicharatameka. He's a teacher also. And Nimai Pandit, just see, personality of Godhead, and still he acted as the greatest, you could say the greatest materialist, because what was the aspiration of people in those days? To become a great Jnani. Oh, Nimai Pandit is the great, he's the greatest Jnani, the greatest scholar. So by the time he went to Gaya, somehow he came back in great ecstasy, didn't know if it was day or night, but still he had established so much so that when he goes to Benares, to Kasi, And those scholars there, they knew him. They'd already heard his name. They knew he was a great pundit. You're a great pundit. You studied Vedanta. You're a sannyasi. What is this? You're going with these bhavukas, these sentimentalists. How can we understand it? And he was able to explain. Sometimes the devotees nowadays, more than sometimes, but often we could say, they becoming big PhDs. And so they're given respect. So sometimes this is a good way of preaching. So Nimai Pandit set that example, but he gave it up. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga, shiksha tameka purusha. Started to explain everything in terms of Krishna. No longer. Then the students were very depressed. He said, well, if you really want to continue your studies, then you could study with so many scholars in Navadvipa. And they just closed their books and they said, what do you mean? We studied with you. How will we study with someone else after that? No, nobody even comes close. So that's what we see here in this pastimes of Nimai Pandit. Vairagya Vidya Shiksha Tameka Purusha Parana. He's the supreme person. And he's an instructor. So one should become familiar in the Leela of Ajamiya, how the Yamadutas, they tried to take him out. They didn't understand what's going on here. We see these four personalities who are effulgent, just like, we've never seen anything like that. And they defeated us. They were able to take Ajamiya. So it was explained to them by Yamaraj what the actual fact is. So there, Prabhupada says that when they were able to argue, oh, the Yamadutas had their arguments as well, pretty good arguments, but they were defeated by the Vishnudutas. Prabhupada there says that one should know this philosophy is okay, chanting is okay. We say anyone can chant. Simple person, but if you want to know philosophy, if you want to preach, then you should know. So similarly, the Bhagavatam is showing that Sukadeva is describing and probably referring here to fifth canto, which is more, much more expansive, the structure of the universe. And still, what does Sukadeva say? Achintya. Rather, this material world is so expansive. Interesting, the last word of this chapter is kalpana. Imagination. Others may divide the whole planetary system into only three divisions. So you have the 14 divisions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nambina kichu nahikoa chola bhuvanamadhi. He said, there's nothing else but the holy name. So, okay, talatal, and so many things, sutala, but we read about that in the 8th canto, Vamanadeva. But still, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving the essence that you want to know. Anjivana anicca janaha sham. Your life is temporary. This is the essence of knowledge. You simply take to the chanting of Hare Krishna. But still, we're so interested to hear this. And it's again given in more detail by Sanatana Goswami, Vrinda Bhagavatam. Gopal Kumar is going through all these places. Most of these places are described, and the persons there. In the beginning of Vrinda Bhagavatamrita, I was again looking at it, and it's like, you know, Sanatana Goswami is so great, he's such a great person, and at the same time so humble. How is it possible? I was just thinking, why, Mahaprabhu, he spoke with Mahaprabhu. We only get a little bit, but Mahaprabhu probably, you know, we're thinking ecstatically that Mahaprabhu gave him all that they gave him. He gave knowledge to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana. They were eligible. They had the adhikar to understand Mahaprabhu and to write a book like Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And Pariksit Maharaj is describing there to his mother Uttara, and his mother is so amazingly intelligent that she's very concerned that she knows all the different types of bhaktas, and she's thinking that there's so many types of bhaktas, they can't all just go to Vaikuntha, that just wouldn't be right, you know. They're absorbed in Braj Leela with Krishna, and she's talking about serving Radharani Radhika Seva there also, right in the first chapter, first few verses. Saying, I'm very concerned that such persons like Adi Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, and the gopis, how are they invited into this? Not possible. So Prickett Maharaj is very enlivened, and that's being recounted by Jaimini, Janamajaya, the grandson. So he goes into all the details, but it's the questioner is very qualified. When Prabhupada came to the West, there were no such questioners. They had basic questions or something, but still, Prabhupada came and gave all this knowledge. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada talks here in this purport. Like when we chant the Gayatri Mantra, Bhuva Bhuva Asva, it's a summary, but in that, you know, it's explained by acharyas what it means, Bhuva Bhuva Asva, and has different levels of meaning. So sometimes these things are hidden, often they're hidden. It's explained by Sanatana Goswami that, I mean, we read the Brahma Samhita, we're reading the actual Gayatri Mantra, Gopal Mantra there. But it's hidden in a way, it's not exactly given exactly right. So Sanatana Goswami explains these things are not always given. Nowadays people go online and they're chanting Gayatri Mantra or something. I have no idea what it means, what are the deep levels of the meaning. But so it's hidden. The more you surrender, the more you bring your mind. Krishna Chaitanya Doya Koroho Vichara Vichara Koroho. The more you consider this mercy of Mahaprabhu, how it's appearing. Kaviraj Goswami says, you'll get something amazing. If you're Krishna Chaitanya Doya, the mercy, when will you give? Parama Karuna, the supreme mercy. It's being given there, but it's inaccessible. Right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it will say there, it says, that Nirmatsa Alam Satam. Oh, it's a very nice verse, Nirmatsa. But what is the deep meaning there? One has to become non-envious. Well, you can read it, you're as a scholar, an academic, you won't get the full meaning if you're envious. So because you're non-envious, Mamu Pecha Puna Janma Dukala Mashashvatam Aptavanti. He was giving him that knowledge because you're non envious of me. Abhyasuyanto. Abhyasuyanto. Paramam. Prabhupada's intimating here in these verses, the Bhagavad Gita, how it's explained that. Purusha Saparaparta, that Bhaktiya Tranannaya, that if one has Ananya Bhakti, Tranannaya Bhakti, then he can understand. No other way. Bhaktiya Mam Avajana, Te Ma, Yavanyas Chaspita, Te To Mam Tatato, Vishite Taranam, then he can enter in, only with his Bhakti. So it's a little tricky. So by mundane calculation, you can't, it's like licking the bottle. But still, Bhagavatam is amazing. Scholars read it, impersonalists read it. But here it says that the Sanatana atmosphere, as contemplated by speculative philosophers and mystics, is possible only if they become a devotee. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Graham Abuja Nachatikaya. This, I think, in 11th canto, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Graham. Only under bhakti, the Bhagavatam and bhakti are only understood by bhakti. Bhakti. Bhaktya mama bhajanati aranyas chasmitakpataha. So many verses in the Gita describing this. Only by bhakti. Mana. Savai mana Krishna padara vindai. Oh, the various levels of bhaktas and Ambarish is one of them, and then they become higher and higher. That you get to the Arjuna platform, Prema, Para, Prematara. Those things are described by Sanatana Goswami. So how Prickett's mother was concerned, and then Prickett took the entire rest of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita to explain the different levels of the universe and how by just by chanting the Gopal mantra, he went throughout the entire universe. This Gopal Kumara was described there. So that's an amazing thing. So Prabhupada's referring here to the fifth canto. We shall be able to know the distant situation of various planets scattered over the vast material sky. The innumerable universe. Yakarna vajalaya bhajatisma yoga nidlamananta jagadanda. Roma kupa. This is some of the tattva. So many tattvas are given in this Brahma Sangita. Every morning we're chanting six verses. So Prabhupada's saying in early lecture that it should be a daily function, that Mahaprabhu taught it to his intimate followers, and it should be a daily function. So we didn't hear that it was only six slokas, but maybe we should be hearing and chanting the entire Brahma Sangita. Such an important book that Lord Chaitanya discovered this one chapter. But in that one chapter, so much is there. Vainam Kvanamtam, description of a Galoka Vrindavan. Galoka Namini Nija Dhamani Chalejitasha. So there's higher, there's lower. Nija Nija Bhavi, Shrestha Koriman. Whatever rasa, whatever spiritual level the devotees are on, that you cannot be in the Vaikuntha world with any level of envy at all. This note, they're pleased whatever level they're on. Nijan is Sukha, Seva Sukha, Krishna's father name. He enjoys directly with Krishna. Gopis are also sometimes thinking that these coward boys, this flute, you know, they get so much association. But this is a transcendental ecstatic emotion. It's not envy, no mundane envy is there. Prabhupada said, as long as they are jealous, envious, you have to remain in this material. This is ahankar. I am the doer. Ahankaratmakam vishvam etad vijayata. This whole material world is based on this ahankar. So in your mind, you have to think, I remember Prabhupada saying clearly, as long as you think you're the doer, you are a fool. So the more we can escape. How do we escape from this idea that we're the doer, everything is mine, I, me, my. We have to bring our mind to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yata yata gaura padara vinde vindeta bhakti kita punya rasi tatata tot sarapati hridya kasma. Then naturally within the heart, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, naturally within the heart you'll get you. Not Prabhupada sometimes warned and said, of course it's controversial now, but Prabhupada was pretty clear. He said, not all, but some of my godbrothers, they will bewilder you and they will stop the natural flow of bhakti. Others, many people, we'll offer this, do this. So Prabhupada had his philosophy, strict adherence in line that this natural flow. Hridya kasma. Hridopagu yaha padampade. But in the description of Vaikuntha, in a previous chapter 2, there was Pravartate, you know, that verse, but the padampadam Vaishnavam ananti tad. That the Vaishnavas, visrijidaratnam, they give up this material world, all the complexities of this material world. And this way. And yanati yatat uchasikshava. Whatever is atat, they understand it's not what they want. Yanati, the Vaishnavas. So every step, padam, Vaishnavam, padam. At every step, you know, one has to be wary of this material world. So to hear these descriptions, not bad, but the ultimate issue is we have to. Chauda bhuvana. Chauda means the 14 worlds. In these 14 worlds, this is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Krishna prema. He's giving out this Krishna prema pradayate. Nam vinakitu nahikwa. Nothing else. The holy name. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's realization that he's singing like this. Krishna bolo. I'm asking you only one thing. Radha Krishna bolo bolo. Just worship. Just chant. Radha Krishna bolo bolo. And kole tor dukana. All your miseries will be finished. You'll be in the spiritual world. When the great person comes, Tirthi Korvanti Tirthani, who probably used to come to some place, then everyone was relieved of all anxiety. Tirthi Korvanti, because he carries Gadabhata in his heart. Govinda Bishwam, because Govinda rests in his heart. He's taking shelter there. It's attractive. So he can put forward this bhakti, propagate everything. Bhakti, bhaktakaro, bhakti do, bhakti vedya. Mahaprabhu is only bhaktakaro. He is the form of bhakti. His body is pure bhakti. Bhaktakaro, bhakti do, and he's giving bhakti. Vedya, bhakti vedya. He's only understood by bhakti. Na buddhya, na chatikaya. Not by just cultivating some buddhi, some knowledge of so many things. Yes, knowledge has to be there, knowledge of bhakti. Nachitika na by argument. Patistanat. Tarko patistanat. Vedanta Sutra says, beyond any argument. Avanamanasagotra. That spiritual world, Avanamanasagotra, cannot be understood by ordinary words or mundane thinking. So, but these particular verses are dealing with the material world, but we shouldn't think that somehow we have to, we know it, okay, that's it. Okay, so because it's Ramdijaya, then we'll read this few verses from ninth canto, where the very, of course, the whole Ramayana is just in summary anyway, but here in chapter 10, when we get to the defeat of this Ravana. Let's see. Rakshapati sabala nashtima veksharushta ahuyayana kamata bishasara brahmam swasyandane dyumati matileno panit Vibrajamana Mahan Ahanan Shitaikshara Praikshara Praik. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Extremely angry. Thus, he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramchandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with a sharp arrow. All that's in this one verse. That's Sanskrit language for you. Ramastamaha purushada parishayanna Kanta samaksham asata pahrita savate takta trapasya paramadya jugupsitasya yachami kala iva kartura langhya virya. Rama. First two words is Rama's tam. Tam means Ravana. So you have Ram and Ravana right there in the beginning of this verse. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, you are, what did he tell him? The most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. Woo. Okay, that's... Yeah. You are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder. In my absence, you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you. So, let's read this purport. Nacha daiva parambalam. This is actually a quote from, I think, Chanakya Pandit. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. Ravana was so sinful and shameless, he did not know what the result would be of kidnapping Mother Sita, the pleasure potency of Ramchandra. This is a disqualification of the Rakshasas. Asatyam apatishtam te jagadaho anishvaram. The Rakshasas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of the creation. They think that everything has come about by chance or accident and that there is no ruler or king or controller. Therefore, the Rakshasas act independently as they like, going even so far as to kidnap the goddess of fortune. This policy of Ravana's is extremely dangerous for the materialist. Indeed, it brings ruin to the materialist civilization. I just saw one purport where Prabhupada was saying that, I think it was second canto, and he said, material philosophy, material science ending in nuclear destruction. He's saying that like there's only one way that we're going to go on the material world, and we're seeing like what are they threatening now, right? Putin every day, he's saying, okay, you guys are going to blow everybody out. And of course, it's insane because as soon as he does that, they're going to just, they'll nuke his whole country. So he doesn't care. He's so insane. So insane. They used to have something called MAD, still, mutually assured destruction. But that's increased. Super MAD. Madak unmada. Pramatam unmatam. So there's matam, which means mad, and then there's more mad, and then super mad. So he's super mad. He's really mad. Very mad. Just like Ravana was really mad, Rather than give Sita back, he'd rather just destroy everything. No problem. No problem. Oh, it's completely insane. Okay, this is what we have. This is disqualification of Rakshasas. Okay, it brings ruin to the materialist civilization. Right there, Prabhupada says. Nevertheless, because atheists are Rakshasas, they dare to do things that are most abominable, and thus they are punished without fail. Religion consists of the orders. Dharmam tu saksha bhagavat panitam. You read that, that's a conversation between the Yamaraja. And that's what it says here. One who fails to carry out the Lord's orders is irreligious. Hiya dharmas tad vipaya. Anything that is not dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat panitam, the instruction of Krishna, which is dharma, it is vipariyam, just the opposite. Adharma. Adharma shilasya sudukitasya. When there's more, there is adharma, there's sudukitasya. Adharma shilasya sudukitasya. There's not only duki, suduki, a lot of duki, more miserable, increasing more and more. Evang shipam danushi shanditam utsasarja banam savajam ivatadhyam bibedo sosrigbamam dashamukanyapatad vimana dahiti jalpati jane sukriti varikto. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart. It says here, tad hridayam bibeda. Banam. Banam is the arrow. Vajramiva, like a thunderbolt. Tad hridayam, the heart. Bibeda. Pierced. Very nice. He fixed the arrow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced his heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, Alas, alas, what does it say here? What was the Sanskrit for this? Let's see. Alas, alas, what happened? What happened? As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Trivijamam samapa putapa pa yagya ishtva svargatim prav. Taipunya masaja sarindralokam. He goes to the higher, and then when it's finished, he comes down again. Bukva trilokyamam samapa putapa pa yagya. And he falls down again. Vishanti comes down again, up and down. But we're not talking about persons going to heaven. We're talking about just an analogy here. Purport. In the Gita, it is said, Kshini Punya Martralagam Vishanti. When the results of the pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets, they fall to earth. So it probably talks about that. But we'll just keep reading this. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battlefield, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka, continuously crying. They approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas. Svansan bandun parisvadya lakshmane shubir arditan rurudu sushvaram dina ganantya atmanam atmanam. Atmanam refers to their chest or breast, that they were beating atmana, atmanam, atmanam, nantya, striking it. They were quite upset. Striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshman, the women embraced their respective husbands. They cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. It says here, susvaran, it was sweet to hear. Rurudu susvaram dina. They were very poor. Ha, hata, sma, vayam, na, ta, loka, ravana, ravana, loka, ravana, ravana. Verse 26. Can't beat Bhagavatam. Kam yayat sharanam langa, tadhina. This means Loka Ravana Ravana. Oh, husband who created the crying of so many other people. Oh, Ravana who can cause crying of others. Oh, my Lord, Master, you epitomize trouble for others. Therefore, you are called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we are also defeated, for without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? Ravana's wife, Mandodara, and the other wives knew very well how cruel a person Ravana was. The very word Ravana means one who causes crying for others. Ravana continuously caused trouble for others, but when his sinful activities culminated in giving trouble to Sita Devi, he was killed by Lord Ramchandra. Navaiveda Mahabhaga Bhavan Kama Vashangata Tejo Nubhavam Sitaya Yena Nito Dasamima. O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desire, therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramchandra. So they're calling him Mahabhaga. But you didn't know. You didn't know that you were Mahabhaga. You got the mercy of Lord Ram. Purport. Not only was Mother Sita powerful, but any woman who follows in the footsteps of Mother Sita can also become similarly powerful. There are many instances of this in the history of Vedic literature. Whenever we find a description of ideal chaste woman, Mother Sita is among them. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, was also very chaste. Similarly, Draupadi was one of 5 exalted chaste women. As a man must follow great personalities like Brahma and Narada, a woman must follow the path of such ideal women as Sita, Mandodari, and Draupadi. By staying chaste and faithful to her husband, a woman enriches herself with supernatural power. It is a moral principle that one should not be influenced by lusty desire for another's wife. Matruvat padadarishu. An intelligent person must look upon another's wife as being like his mother. This is a moral injunction of Chanakya. Thus, Ravana was condemned not only by Lord Ramchandra, but even by his own wife, Mandodari, because she was a chaste woman. She knew the power of another chaste woman, especially such a wife as Sita Devi. Okay. Are there any comments, questions?
Ravana, what's her name?
Mandodari.
Mandodari. So she's considered one of the most chaste women. Even, but at the same time, in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada will say, if someone's, you know, husband isn't following, you know, that they don't have to follow them. So it seems like what's the most chaste? You know, she's. Chased the Ravana, but he's...
Well, Gandhari didn't go around, you know, plotting to kill the Pandavas, even though her husband did, but she's considered one of them chaste, you know. She even blindfolded herself. So Mandodari wasn't scheming, wasn't doing the same activities. She was just hanging in.
Mm-hmm. Also, I was going to ask, what did you mean when you're talking about probably like the natural flow?
The natural flow?
Yeah.
Well, because it's, you can't take that out of context. You have to read the whole, you know, whole Shastra for that. So natural flow, the first thing that comes to my mind is like one of Shukadeva's prayers, especially Gatavilikaya, Shankaradibi, Ajash and Shankara, that's Brahma and Shiva, they're considered Gatavyaliki Vyalikaya, means that they're not pretentious. They just, don't jump ahead over the horse to eat the grass. And that's another little Bengali quip, Gas Kave or something. That, let me just take up this artificially some position as Sahajya. That Bhaktisandra Saraswati was describing that to Rabindranath Tagore. We just read that online. This nice pastime where he was telling that he wanted to go to the West and preach. And where did he think would be, you know, how he asked his advice, actually, what, you know, he was a very respectable person. And he opined to Bhaktisiddhanta that I think that in West, that Indian sadhus have gone there and they've spoiled the name of India. He knew that, even though, you know, I'm not sure if he went himself, but he knew that. So he advised that, I think it's not, you know, now it's not advisable now because it's, so Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, my men can still go there. Well, first Rabindranath Tagore said, that only if you go, after meeting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was so impressed, he said, if you go, maybe you go. And he said, no, I don't have to go, but my men will go, they're as good as me. So his initial men, we don't know if they were as good as him, but we know Prabhupada was as good. Anyway. But in that conversation, he was describing Prakrita Sahajya, but so that Tagore said, I never heard this, what's this term? I mean, he's a Bengali, so he knows the words, Prakrita and Sahaj, but he doesn't quite understand what he's saying here. He said, well, this term, and he described, yes, Sahaji is a great term, of pure devotees are known as Sahaji, but when you're Prakrita Sahaji, it's like an oxymoron. You can't be materialistic and be natural. Actually, this word Sahaj means natural, to be naturally in a certain level of Krishna consciousness. They're natural, in the spiritual world, they're very natural. This word Sahaj means natural. So, but Prakrita Sahajya, this word, that's a complete self-contradiction. That's saying he's a very rich, poor man. You know, like Bill Gates, I saw him in the street being beaten by the cops. No, he's not in the street living, being beaten by cops, you know, with his, living out of a cardboard box. So if you're actually Sahaj, naturally very pure and very elevated person. You won't be prakriti, materialistic. So Bhakti Siddhanta had a way with words. This terminology, apparently he coined that term.
You mentioned your reading from the one of the verses, Ram's pastimes about Mandodari and the wives crying. So you mentioned like an oxymoron kind of thing that was in the verse itself about how it crying was very sweet. Yeah, I thought that was very.
The word meaning does say sweet. Like where were you? Ten.
And it also brought compassion from.
Yeah, it says. It says in 10, where are we? Twenty something. Let me find it again. He was extremely angry, striking their breast. This is 25. 10:25. Swan, swan. And this is, yeah, maybe it's the next one. I see. Mahabhaga. No, here we go. Who is beating?
Who would it be pleasing to?
I know. Yeah, it's pretty funny, right? I wouldn't be able to figure that out, but maybe Ramchandra is very merciful. You know, it's women crying, and maybe it sounds sweet. Screaming.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I thought it was in like...
Atmanam, Atmanam. Yeah, Gnantya Atmanam, here it is. It's definitely 25, where it says, Rurudu Susvaram. Now, svara means singing, voice. And it says, literally, Susvaram, it's very sweet to hear. Prabhupada's not making it up. But it also says Dina, very poor. At the same time, it was very poor. They're crying, you know. So, yeah, I wasn't there, so I'm off the hook on that. I know it sounds pretty horrific when you hear women crying and screaming, you know. I mean, when Srivas's wife and the others were crying because the boy had left his body, he said, quiet down, you know. Mahaprabhu's having his kirtan. You guys can't upset the kirtan. His own son had died. Mm-hmm. But voice is vachas chashravanamrita, right? When Kashyapa Muni is driving women, he says, sarapadbhavadmotsavam. Anyway, there's several places in the third and fourth canon, especially, where probably said women generally can sing nicely and their voices are sweet. But if you examine their hearts, are like razor blades. Kashyapa Muni said that. Just thought I'd throw that in for fun. But what?
Not the
holy
ones.
Of course not. That's a base level understanding. So as far as them, maybe it doesn't always sound sweet, but in this particular case, right?
Correct.
Who has the mic?
There I have it. Let's see. Oh, you mentioned Ananya Bhakti. What is Ananya?
Anya means another thing, and Ananya. Anya bilasita shunyam. When other things are shunya, besides pure bhakti, anya bilasita, abilas means other desire. Anya bilasita shunyam, gana, what are those things? Gana and karma. When they're zero.
Okay.
This is a definition of bhakti by Rupa Goswami. Anya bilasita shunyam, gana kama anavita means uncovered. Dharma. Anukuyena should be favorable like that. So ananya means no other. There's nothing else but bhakti. Anya always means another.
Okay.
Other.
And do you know
what scripture Bhaktivinoda Thakur stated. There's nothing more to be had in all the 14 worlds but the holy name. But what scripture?
Udilo aruna purava bhag. It's the last line.
Oh, it is. Okay. That song.
Anything else?
Yeah, I'm just curious about this chastity of the wife. How it seems.
Right, if you want a little further on that, you would read the prayers in fifth canon, I think where Rama is talking, praising that, and telling all women that who think that their husband is their actual husband. No, Krishna is the only protector. What chapter is that in fifth canon? Is it 16 or 20? Anyway.
Yet that, still.
An illusion that this assemblage, and Rukmini also talks about that in the 10th canon, the body with the mustache, decorated with mustaches, is simply a pile of stool.
But still, Srila Prabhupada advised that we follow the example of these chaste women. So as Sukadeva's
question... Yeah, but that's
question,
like, there's different levels, right? Hmm? There's different levels. Prabhupada told some of those single women who didn't want, they said, it's okay, you marry Krishna, right? But, so generally he said, all women should marry. Women should marry. That's their dharma, sri dharma. So, but there are rare cases where women are very advanced and they don't even marry. So that's rare, but it still exists. Even Mirabai, right? She was.
You said you checked the chastity of those women. Said they received supernatural power.
Right, they had supernatural power. Maybe that's why it was so sweet, because they were so devoted. Even to these demoniac men, Rakshasas, not even ordinary men. What?
The suites of the army of Ramchandra, they were the only ones left, and now they were never the
victor. Yeah. What was I just thinking? When the whole story of Pururava, that's another thing. Puranjana, in the fourth canto, the analogy is constantly, there's different analogies given, and one of the main ones is that the mind is like the wife, and the chastity of the disciple to the guru. So, but the husband is supposed to be like the guru, he's supposed to be a spiritual person, but they're even there. And Prabhupada talked about his sister, how the Pishima, his sister, Jagatarini, her name is actually, Babatarini, that she was devoted to her husband so much so that even she cooked fish for him, and he was, Prabhupada said, debauch number one. You know, he was most of the time out, gone, he wasn't even home. But if someone would come there then and say, oh, where's your husband? She would say, oh, he's just gone out, he's coming back just in a little while now. And Prabhupada said, after a while, he did come back because she was so chaste. He gave different examples of chaste women.
But like Baba Tarini's, she's like really advanced, and this is a symptom of her advancement. It wasn't like, oh, because I'm chaste to this, this thing I'm not going to say in front of the deities, therefore I'm advanced. You know, therefore I must be a good devotee. I mean, she was a very advanced devotee, you know, and it was an expression of her consciousness. Well, you know, I marry this guy, I'm just trying to make the best of it. This is, you know, there's reasons why I'm doing this, and it's in my interest to deal with it in this way. You know, she wasn't like, I don't know what else to do. I can't go to the bar or something, find somebody else. I mean, you know, it really made a lot of sense to her to do that in an intelligent way, it seems to me. It was, you know,
okay.
It's not like she's just walking through it like blindly. She's, you know, based on what you're saying, she's
she
well
chanted.
Aware.
Let's just say she was initiated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. That's one good thing, right?
Well, that's a positive. I would say that's
she
a
got
positive.
Nam initiation, Nam Diksha. So she's not an ordinary.
No, but that's part of the example. It wasn't like she was just blindly, you know, my husband's an alcoholic derelict, but I'm supposed to be chaste, so I'll do it. You know, I mean, There's okay, a lot of depth there.
We understand that you understand her mentality. That's good.
No, I don't, but I understand that there's probably a lot of things going on in her mentality I don't understand, and a few sound bites I can
remember. Well, yeah, okay. So anything else?
Hey, I'm not done yet.
What microphone, microphone. Yes, that's true. Get the mic. Say it again.
Mandodari must be somewhat advanced to be able to identify Sita Devi as such an exalted goddess that she would advise her husband not to do what he's doing.
That's right. So she's calling him Mahabhaga. You're the most fortunate because you got killed by Ramchandra.
Oh, yeah. So she's a devotee.
Haribo. Okay.
Hey, we're stretching them now. We're stretching them. So begin. Second can of the next verse.
Second can of what?
The next verse about Lord Ramchandra.
Oh, is it in this book? No, it's the first. I don't have it here. Oh, it is this book. Where is it? Second can of. So does it say anything different than what we just... All right. Okay. Haribo, say something.
Thank you so much, Sita Devi Prabhu. I really appreciate your point. And I think it's really profound. Because her association was so powerful as a chaste wife, obviously very advanced, she changed her husband. So the power of her association transformed him.
Prabhupada said that, true. But I mean, we don't hear that he became like a pure devotee or something, but I mean, you know, we don't know exactly what happened with that guy. So. Huh?
So Prabhupada noted in that regard with Pishima, her quality of tolerance, and that's a quality of a chaste. Of chastity. Chastity is tolerance and shyness. Prabhupada points out many examples of shyness. You know those...
He talks about the sweeper lady, and then she won't even go between him and his friend who were speaking. Yeah.
I always wondered what chastity, you know...
He talked about that one lady who used to take her husband out for begging, and somehow or other he had some accident where his whole face was gone. He had no eyes on his face. It was just a blob, basically. And every day, Prabhupada would see, she would dress him neatly and bring him out, and they would beg.
Yeah.
Still, she didn't leave him. Maybe she did that to him. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Chastity equals shyness and tolerance. From Prabhupada's examples.
Okay, so are we done? Haribo, thank you very much.